Happy Labor Day. Where does it get its name? I honestly don't know. I probably should have Googled this. Randy would have done that because he's good about giving us all the background to things. But I assume it has something to do with celebrating the fact that we are able to work and we're able to provide. And I don't think that there's any place on the planet that that probably is more celebratory than in America. In a free setting where you and I can dream, and I suspect most of you in this room at one point or another have thought about maybe owning your own business, launching out and doing something on your own. Unlike those who grew up in communist countries who have almost from birth an assignment, you will be this because we need this. We are able to be people with a free market. We're able to dream, and if we can find a product or a particular job or service that we have, and if people want to pay for it, we're free to get after that. I like living in America, and I'm thankful for this weekend. I'm thankful for Labor Day and all that it represents, and I'm thankful for individuals who have preserved a country that we have so that we can have a Labor Day. Some of them on their way to Houston, Texas, to take care of the terrible flooding that's gone on down there. We are a blessed, blessed nation. But as I was thinking this past week about Labor Day, my other thought came to the Sabbath day. There are some similarities, it seems to me. Do you not find it interesting that on Labor Day, most of us will have off work? So on Labor Day, many of us at least will be doing the picnic thing. Instead of laboring, although probably some of the women in the room will be doing a lot of laboring on that day, and maybe men if you barbecue, whatever. But we kind of shuffle that to the side, and so we're celebrating labor, supposedly, without laboring, which I guess is appropriate. But you know, the Sabbath day was similar to that. And this morning, I'd just like to give you three really simple points about the Sabbath day as I did some research and looked into what the Sabbath meant to those of old, and in my last point, what it should mean to you and I. And I think there are at least three things that should come to mind. The Sabbath was intended to be a time to cause us to remember. It was intended to be a time to give us a refreshing of our physical bodies. And thirdly, it was a time that was commanded of us to refrain from certain things. And so we'll just take these three real quickly. Number one, this idea of a time to remember. In Mark chapter 2, verses 27 through 28, you find this passage. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath." Interesting that Jesus, and if you go back and you see the context, what's happening here is Jesus is in a controversy because some of his folks are picking grain and he's been accused of not honoring the Sabbath. And Jesus is basically saying, I'm not sure you appreciate what's happening with regards to the Sabbath and the way that this was designed. Understand that the Sabbath was always about man, not man for the Sabbath. And you know, legalism does that to us. What legalism does, it creates within us a drive to do that which is often not very practical. We put check marks in the boxes to get the job done. It's a lot like communism. It's kind of like the idea of you've got an assignment, just do it. We don't want you to have any initiative necessarily. Just do what I tell you to do. And that's what legalism tends to bring about within a congregation when we allow ourselves to just put check marks in boxes. But Jesus says in this passage, you really missed the heart of the Sabbath. Because you see, the Sabbath was designed for man. This was an intention by God to make sure that man had what man needed. Specifically, our first point, this idea that man would be able to remember. And the reason I know that that's true is because of the second slide. In Exodus 31, verse 13, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. Why? Well, this will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come so that you will know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. So what's the purpose of the Sabbaths? The Sabbaths were designed so that we would be constantly in a mode of remembrance. It's a lot like why we take communion on the first day of the week. When Paul gave us that command to examine ourselves and to make sure that we eat and drink this in a worthy manner, it was part of this whole idea of reflection. Get back into your value system, reflect on the week, ask yourself, how am I doing? Am I growing or going backwards? It's a time to remember why I am where I am. You remember when the children of Israel came across the Jordan River And they carried the Ark of the Covenant. You remember that? And when the priest's feet hit the water, it went back. And so it was the second time that they had actually, at least Jews in general, the Hebrews, ancient Hebrews in general, had witnessed the parting of the water. Joshua and Caleb, I guess the only two who actually had witnessed the original back in the Red Sea. But it must have been an amazing event. But do you know what happens immediately after they get out the other side? They're told to turn around and go back in the middle of the stream and pick 12 rocks out of the middle and build an altar. And that altar is going to stand and it's going to sit here so that you will remember. You remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the Ark of the Covenant and the three items that were in the Ark of the Covenant. We got the Ten Commandments, we got the shewbread, we got the manna, excuse me, and we've got the rod that buds. You remember why we saved those? So that we would remember. Throughout history, God has constantly been trying to not only keep our attention, but regain our attention. Because we are such a forgetful people. And so I guess as we celebrate Labor Day, appreciate the fact that we have jobs, have the opportunity to take initiative, start our own company, start our own business if we want. Let's remember that that didn't really start with America. That whole concept of you and I remembering and appreciating and being thankful for our context that allows us to thrive, that really started years and years and years ago with God saying, don't forget me. Please don't forget me. In fact, as we're going to see here in a moment, did you know that the Sabbath is actually rooted in creation itself? The Sabbath goes all the way back to the seventh day of creation. 6 days God will use to create, and on the seventh day, what's he do? He rests. Now, it's not like he was wore out. God didn't get wore out. But he did know that you and I get wore out. And God, as a father with endless energy, but recognizing that his children do not have endless energy, he says, you know what we're going to do on the seventh day? We're going to call this on a day off. No work on the Sabbath. Don't do that. Every once in a while, Judah will be bouncing around here, there, yonder, and he's just started to walk, and he can go wherever he wants now. But his chubby little legs, they get tired, you know? And I can pretty well outrun him, if you can believe that. I can pretty well outwalk him. I can probably outcrawl him at this point, given the size that he is, you know? And so in a sense, I'm kind of like God. You know, in a sense, comparatively speaking, I've got an endless gait. I've got an endless amount of energy compared to Judah. And every once in a while, I'll let him down and he'll run around in the living room and he's out just having a big time. But then he'll come over and he kind of put his arms up at me. And if I don't pick him up, he goes over to his mama, you know? He doesn't want to walk no more. He's tired. He needs somebody to pick him up. Well, that's kind of what God is doing with the Sabbath. Is he is saying, I understand. It took me 6 days to create this place. I got more energy to go if I wanted to, but I'm done. You, on the other hand, I recognize you don't have an endless supply of energy. And so you know what we're going to do on this seventh day, Saturday? We're going to call it off. Day off. Saturday's going to be a day off. The original weekend starts with God. And it's good, isn't it? But why? Because he wants us to remember him. God always has your best interest at heart. He always wants that which is going to give you the maximum as far as potential for fulfillment in your physical realm. And that's what the Sabbath had to do, or was intended to do. It was to help us not forget, like we're so accustomed to doing. Secondly, as you flip over to Deuteronomy, the second telling of the law, as you flip over to chapter 5, verse 14, you find this passage, which gives us the second point. It's not only a call to remember God, remember the blessings that you have. Stop for a moment, look back over the freshly cut yard and say, that's good. I'm thrilled that we accomplished that this week. But secondly, it's to give us a refreshing, a time to just stop. Just be still. Deuteronomy chapter 5. But the seventh day, meaning that Sunday's the first day, so the seventh day, Saturday, the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. It's a day off specifically to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter or your male or female servant, nor your ox nor your donkey and any of your animals, nor your foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. So it's a day off for everybody. Nothing's supposed to happen on the Sabbath. Because we need a refreshing. This whole Sabbath day idea also ties into farming. And I'm not going to go off into that, but there was a certain period of time that they were not allowed, they were supposed to not farm a field a particular year, because that would allow that field to basically rest and be refreshed. So that the next time that they needed to use that field, it would have what it needed to. Now today we got all kinds of chemicals and stuff that we can put on it. I know that Dustin can tell us all about that, and I realize we can use it over and over and over again. But back in the day when this is being set up, God is saying, I want what's best for you. And so he gives us something that would allow us to remember him. And secondly, he gives us something that would allow us to be refreshed. Now, I want to pause here, and I'm going to give you my opinion. Okay, that's why I said that. Opinion from Sonny. So I want you to see that this isn't biblical. I think that it is important for us to understand that even though we are no longer commanded to observe the Sabbath, in fact, the book of Colossians tells us, don't let anybody judge you with regards to observing Sabbaths. Okay, so that's not something that I should stand as a marker as to whether or not I'll fellowship you or not. Okay, even though that is true, all of what God has given us is rooted in his great love for us. And I think that there is something to be said for a God who wanted us to take time off. It's okay for us to sit down and to say, you know, it's been good. Right now, I just need to take a break. Well, what do they do on the Sabbath? Did you ever wonder? There's not a lot of history. We know, and we'll see this in just a minute, we know originally that we had the manna falling out of heaven and some of them got greedy and they decided they're going to pick up some on the Sabbath too, and they weren't supposed to do that. We'll talk about that in just a second. So I don't really know what they did. I know the Puritans and others would often take on Sundays, and they made it very legalistic that, you know, the only thing you can do is read your Bible. And so you sit stoically in the living room or in the kitchen or whatever, at a table, straight back chair probably, and you just read your Bible. I can only imagine as a young person trying to survive that. You know, our kids today would just go nuts if all you could do all Sunday is just sit still and read the Bible. Well, how in the world would they ever, you know, but they did back in the day. They made it. It depends on how you treat this whole idea of refreshing, doesn't it? When God desired for us to take this time off and dedicate it to him, I'm not sure the ancient Hebrews, and maybe many of us even today, fully appreciate that what is actually happening here is God understands your need, may I say it for these, your need to chill. He gets it. And it's okay for you to take some time to just chill and be still. And so the second thing with regards to the Sabbath that God gives us is this idea of refreshing. The third thing, see there, I told you it'd be a quickie. The third thing is this idea of refraining. Now this is what we often think of with regards to the Sabbath day, but you really need to have those first two in there to appropriately appreciate the Sabbath day fully. In Exodus chapter 20, we're dealing with the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your sons, your daughters, your male servants, or your animals, or any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So here you see the history of the Sabbath. That's why I believe, and I told you this too many times, but that's why I believe that the days of creation are literal days. Because if they're not literal days, then why does God use this standard by which he asks of us to take day number seven off? If the seventh day wasn't really a calendar day like we think of it in the beginning, then why does he equate the two here? But he tells us in this passage that we are to be people who refrain. And you can see the list there that he tells us specifically we're not supposed to work. There was a time when the manna was falling out of the heavens, as I told you, and God told him, he said right up front, he said, look, here's what you need to do. 6 days, you gather the manna. On the sixth day, you gather twice as much, because day seven, we ain't doing it. And some of them went out on day seven when the command was first given, and there wasn't no manna. And they were disappointed in God. And Moses says, why are you such rebellious people? God gave you the instructions. And the instructions are this. Prepare for your day off. Because Saturday, the Sabbath, is going to be that. Prepare. Because you need to understand discipline. There are times you just need to refrain. Application. We as God's people often do not look a lot different than the world looks, or act a lot differently than the world acts. You expect me, as the guy standing before you so often, to say this, but folks, time that has been set aside for God by our elders and scriptural example is not just important, it is a salvation issue. We need to be together. Because there are times we forget to refrain from the world. It's so easy for us to get pulled back into the materialisms. So easy to get back, pulled back into the fleshly side of things, that we've got to have constant reminders. Our elders have given us at least three opportunities every week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that we have reminders to be spiritually refreshed, so that we won't forget that we need to refrain from being part of the world. And it's significant that we're a part of those assemblies. And although you and I are not commanded in the New Testament to observe the old law Sabbath, I would like to suggest to you that given the law of grace and the fact that we live in a law that is so much, much better, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night is not too much to ask. God deserves those moments of remembrance. And so think of Sunday and Wednesday. And if the elders decided to do a Thursday night Bible study, we really ought to give some consideration to the significance of that, much like they gave significance to the Sabbath back in the day. Then there's this conclusion. I find this to be interesting. We're now flipping into the, you notice all three of those were from the Old Testament. Now we're into the New Testament setting. The book of Hebrews, which Bryson is teaching during our first semester here at the School of Biblical Studies. He says in Hebrews 4, 8 through 10, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day." Well, what's this other day? "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God." That's us. "A Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his." Back in the day when he's creating. Then it concludes this way. "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." The people of old were constantly struggling with this Sabbath day thing. In fact, it had gotten so bad that by the time Jesus comes on the scene, they had made up all kinds of crazy little laws about what you could and couldn't do, how far you could go on a Sabbath. It just got really nuts. Because they recognized their frailty. They recognized their need to remember. And so in order to keep them in a remembrance mode, they added all kinds of laws to God's law. And what God says, "I don't need you to do that. All I need you to do is just remember. Let me write the law." And the law is this: every once in a while, I need you to remember, I need you to be refreshed, and I need you to refrain from being part of the world, because you're my people. Notice the last verse again that's on the screen in front of you. "Therefore," he says, "let us make every effort to enter that rest." It is the purpose. There is a great Sabbath coming. Forgive my English, but it ain't today. It pulls us forward. It's what we should dream about when we take our little nap in the hammock, maybe on Labor Day weekend. Oh, how cool it will be to strap my hammock to the side of the tree of life, beside the river of life, with the breeze of life, if there is such a thing in heaven, wafting on, and I'm just going to take a nap here. That's what pulls us toward the future. I live so that. If I live so that, my present moment will be sweet. It's the thing that allowed Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 to sing and pray at midnight after being beaten. For doing a good thing. They're in jail for doing a good thing. For doing God's stuff. And yet at midnight they're able to sing and pray. How do you do that? Because they recognize their Sabbath is coming. Everything we do this week, including our barbecues tomorrow, needs to be to the glory of God. And every once in a while, we need to be people who recognize that God Himself instituted, at the beginning of time, He instituted Sabbath so that you would remember, so that you'd be refreshed, and so that you'd refrain. Tomorrow, don't be like the world. Refrain from what the world will do on Labor Day weekend. It's okay to take your break. It's okay to all those things are fine, but refrain from being like the world. Be refreshed. Take a moment to sit down. Sip that cold iced tea. Think about all the accomplishments you've had over life. Watch your grandchildren or your children as they run about. It's okay. That's good. It's good. We're allowed to do that. But most of all, tomorrow, remember, you were born in the richest nation on the planet with the opportunity tomorrow to relax. Remember who gave it to you. As we sing this invitation song, if there's something amiss in your spiritual walk that we can help you with, we sing it for your encouragement. If you need to come forward, please do so as we stand and as we sing.